prison. No happiness was found within. I never knew the meaning of joy down in my soul. Then at last I finally knelt. Contentment filled my soul like I never felt. Heaven came down, there was glory all around when he saved my soul.
Take your Bible, turn it in your scripture to the golden text of the Holy Bible, St. John chapter 3 and verse 16. St. John chapter 3 and verse 16. I want to preach this morning on a wonderful subject, the awesome superlatives of Holy Scripture. The awesome superlatives of Holy Scripture. I've always enjoyed preaching on words. This happened to be a word that's not in the Bible, I don't think. I really didn't search, but as far as I can remember, it's not in the Bible. But the word superlatives. Superlatives, my wife helped me learn how to pronounce it yesterday. Isn't that amazing to preach on a word that you just learned how to pronounce? Well, that's okay. That's okay. When I was saved, I didn't know the basic words. And thank God I've learned many. But the superlatives of us, of the Bible, the awesome superlatives of the Holy Scripture, it's just something really that got a hold of me. What does the word superlatives mean? Now, if you don't get this, you're not going to get the crux of my message. The word superlative actually means, now listen to me, something of which there are no greater possibilities. Something of which there is no greater possibilities. When you say something is a great superlative, you're saying there's nothing bigger than that. There's nothing above that. There's nothing greater than that. This is the top of the list. This is the top of the iceberg of the fires of God. And so the awesome superlatives of the Holy Bible. Well, if there's one verse in the Bible that has those awesome superlatives in it, it's got to be John 3:16. St. John 3:16. I want to read it to you before you're seated. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to read that again in a moment. But that word has 13 great superlatives in it. I'm going to ask you to memorize them over the next couple of weeks. Okay? Brother Dylan, I always remind you to remind me to make sure we check and see who all did it. Would you remind me? The 13 superlatives. 13 of the greatest words or greatest truths that one would ever know. Okay? I want to preach on that this morning. You say, have you got 13 points to your sermon? Well, to be honest with you, I have. But I will do my best not to stretch them out so long. But a superlative, now you remember, a superlative is a something, describing something of which there is nothing greater and no possibility of anything greater. In other words, there are no synonyms to these superlatives. No synonyms. There's nothing to compare them with. They're at the top of the list. They're the greatest. Now think a moment before you're seated. We live in a world that is bent one person after the other, one great creator after the other, one great entrepreneur after the other, is trying to come up with something that's bigger and better than anybody else has come up with. Are you aware of that? The car industry? Oh, especially the computer industry. It is exploding. And every one of the makers of any kind of computer is doing everything in their power to come up with the latest that is without question a superlative, that is beyond anything else anybody has done. You remember as the different computers have come out, every time one comes out, and people are dumb enough by the millions to go buy that latest instrument, that latest computer. Oh, I'm amazed. I got one of them. You know, it's amazing. It really is. And I listen to sermons. I listen to singing from the camp meeting. And I sit listening to me preach and watching me. And I'm thinking, that man over there in Australia, 12,000 miles away, is seeing the same thing I'm seeing. And if he cut it on at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, in 5 seconds, maybe six, maybe seven, he's watching me do a radio program 12,000 miles away, and there's no lines connecting us. I've been told that the way the computer does, the way the signal does, the effort to send it out, the post, or if you're sending a video or an audio, the way it does, it jumps from one computer to the other and just moves across the face of the earth. That's why they tell you don't cut your computer off, because your computer is one of those jumping stations. I would assure you, most of you didn't even know that. But it's a jumping station, and they just move. If they're used to going a particular way, and somebody cuts their computer off or it fails, it's got to find another way. And so it may take a little longer to get there. Maybe seconds, not more than that. But see, we live in a world of superlatives. Superlatives. But there's none to match the superlative of the Holy Scripture. The awesome superlatives of the Holy Bible. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Thank you, Sister Chambers. She's one of the oldest here. But I say to her a lot of times, honey, you can sit down. She says, no, Dad, I don't want to. will go home from church and she'll say, "You kept me standing an hour this morning." Well, I said, "Well, I've told you, you can sit down if you want to." But she won't, because she's too much in respect of this Bible and the wonderful worship of the Lord. Now, this morning, I am preaching on the awesome superlatives of the Holy Bible. The awesome superlatives of the Holy Bible. And I want to read my text again. So beautiful. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, 13 superlatives, great superlatives in this particular verse of Scripture. We must spend a little time with them this morning. Well, where do you start? You're dealing with a great passage, the golden text of the whole Bible. The greatest superlative in all the world of literature is the Bible. It's breathtaking to know 42 authors over 2,000 years wrote this holy book, and not a one of them ever contradicted another. Not a one of them ever missed the theme and the centrality of holy truth. They preached it in such perfection that men still argue and men still debate it. But it ever stands as the Word of God. And it's full of these superlatives, great superlatives. The number one is the Word God. The Word God. You got to understand, church, that God is the greatest being. The greatest being in existence. Not just human existence, but in total existence. The heavens are the earth, are beneath the earth, beyond all human understanding, God is the greatest being. Oh, there is no superlative that matches the greatness of our God. There is none that can be created that even begin to match his greatness. He is supernatural. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He's completely sovereign beyond all understanding. He doesn't exist because something keeps him in existence. He exists of himself, and all the rest of the universe exists because of him. Nothing that exists can exist without understanding. I'm sorry, without understanding that he's the centrality of it all. God, the great being. To think of God in this context of this verse of Scripture is an overwhelming experience. I don't know about you, but I've never loved him better than I've learned to love him lately. It just seems like the love of my Father has been exploding inside of me. I've opened my heart and said, "God, make it richer and make it more complete and make it more satisfying and make it more perfected. Don't let me love nothing even close to how much I love you. Everything else is passing. Everything else is transitory. But God is eternal. He's the great one." And I tell you, when you think of him, you must ever remember he is the greatest being. What a superlative to think of God. No synonym to match. Hallelujah. No word to describe. No ability to understand. I get amazed when people start arguing about the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And they will say, "But I don't understand how we can have one God manifest in three persons." Reverend Chambers, you got to be wrong. You got to be wrong. You can't have three persons and yet one God. And I always say to them, if I could understand God, then that mean my mind was as big as God is. And I don't need a God that's no bigger than my mind. I'm glad there's a God that's the greatest being. He is a superlative of all superlatives. He is absolutely beyond human grasp and human understanding. Do you love him? Do you really love him? Do you love him like you ought to love him? How could our world not see him as indeed the greatest? How can our world not understand him above all? How does our world not grasp it? And why would every living soul want to know him and serve him? Let me tell you something, friend. Knowing God is at the top of the list of human abilities. God made you, gave to you the spirit of life that is a little bit of him. I'm telling you, that life in you didn't come from the devil. It didn't come from your flesh. It didn't even come from your mama and the dead. That life in you, they may produce the body, but God produced the life. You understand that? Oh yeah, mom and daddy produced the body, but God produced the greatest superlative. The great being of God. Would you say the word God with me? Oh, we're not talking about Allah. We're not talking about some of those secondary so-called gods that men have created, that demons have created. I'm talking about the Supreme One. I'm talking about the great I Am that I Am. I'm talking about Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Shalom and Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Titkasu and Jehovah some other names. I'm here to tell you, he's the great one, the I Am of the I Am. Hallelujah. So God is the greatest being. Well, you say, Brother Chambers, you can't find any other superlatives in that great text. Oh, yes, you can. God. So. Two letters. So. Now, I want you to think about the word so for a minute. It is without question the greatest degree. The greatest degree. To the greatest degree. What a superlative. The word so, God so. I mean, we're talking about the capacity of God to have an emotion that is so overwhelming and so genuine and surpassing every capacity of life, surpassing everything you can understand. Here was an ability in God that the scripture can say, God so. That describes how far reaching was this emotion that we're fixing to see that came out from the Father. That's talking about something so breathtaking that it encompasses the whole of the universe. We're fixing to talk about something that affects the heavens and the earth and beneath the earth and all creation. God so. What a word. God so. How can you have God have a feeling like this? Because he's a being. He's God. And he's so great. He's beyond everything. And there's absolutely no comparison to this picture of God when it says God so. It expresses what God felt when all of this salvation began. It expresses the kind of emotion that got a hold of the heart of God. It expresses the kind of feeling that he had as he looked over his sin-cursed world and all the men and women under the weight of sin, under the power of destruction. Hallelujah, God so. Hallelujah. He felt us. He felt our need. He felt our burden. He felt our load we were carrying. He felt the degree of our eternal punishment that was awaiting us down the road. So God, so. Can you grasp that? Can you grasp that? What a superlative. Well, I mean, there's nobody in all of creation that can feel what God was feeling at this moment. There's no way to describe it. There's no synonym you can use to replace it with. There's just nothing that's even close to it. God, so. But you don't stop there. Because it says then, God so loved. God so loved. This great eternal creator who is so far above human beings that we cannot even look upon him. We will see him when we get our glorified bodies, but until then, we could not live after looking upon him. It would be to destroy the human body to look upon God. But God so loved. God so loved. Now, you know what love is, at least a little bit of it. You've had a little experience of love, I'm sure. And it is a beautiful thing, but this love we're talking about is the greatest passion, the greatest passion. There's nothing to compare with it. There's nothing like it. There's no way to find something that you can say that's close to it. There's no way to look for anything that's even near it. God so loved. What a superlative, what a passion. The greatest passion that any being could feel, God was feeling at that moment. Hallelujah. God was feeling at that moment when the Bible said God so loved. I don't think we've ever looked at this scripture like we ought to look at it. And I'm hoping this morning you'll never forget it. I'm hoping it'll get a hold of you and you'll learn these 13 superlatives and make them a part of your life. And when you wake up in the night, don't lay there and grumble and complain and feel pain and sorrow and worry about tomorrow. But begin to understand the greatness of John 3:16. For God so loved. Hallelujah. What a passion He had for you, Buck Lindsay. What a passion He had for you, Judy Lawless. What a passion He had for you, Lucille Mumford. What a passion He had for you, Brother Johnson. What a passion. God so loved. There's no comparison. You can't find a synonym for this kind of love. Oh, no. There's no such thing. God so loved. But then we must move to the next point. God so loved the world. The world. Notice what He said. The greatest company of people. The world. You can't get more people than say in the world. That's all. That's everybody. Over 7 billion men and women make up the world. And that's only those living right now. And go back and count them. From the time He died, and He even died for those who came before He was born 4,000 years earlier. And He so loved the world. He so loved everybody in it. Everybody who would ever be in it. Everything about it. He so loved this earth. He created it as a garden. It was His yard. It was His garden. It was His place to meet with the couple He made. It was His. The Bible said the world is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. He loved. So loved the world. He so loved the world. Here's the great God, the Creator. The great Eternal One. Who had such ability that He could so love the world. He could so. If you didn't read nothing but those four words, you would have a message that should change your life. God so loved. God so loved the world. Say it with me. God so loved the world. Four incredible superlatives. Four incredible statements. Breathtaking beyond my explanation. But the Bible said God so loved the world that He gave. That He gave. Do you understand that? The greatest act. The greatest act. What a superlative. The greatest act. Nobody could do it but God. Nobody could have made an effect redemptively upon this universe but God. Nobody could have offered a sacrifice that would bring men from the darkness of sin into the light of heaven's grace but God. Nobody else. Nobody but this God. Nobody but this superlative one. Nobody but this one who could so love the world that He would give. That He would not just give what little He had, but the best He had. And He possesses all. Everything is His possession. It belongs to Him. Hallelujah. But God so loved the world that He gave. His heart was so full of compassion. His heart was so full of desire. Hallelujah. He wanted to act. He wanted to act in a way that would bring a world out of the depth of sin and the darkness of midnight and the sorrows of a devil that it betrayed Him and turned from Him, and all the angels and demons of the devil's kingdom, they had to be defeated. And so God so loved the world that He gave. There had to be a sacrifice given that would bring this world back to Him. Somebody raise a hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God so loved the world that He gave. God so loved the world that His big old heart just opened wide that He might find the treasure of His whole possession, the treasure of all His treasures. Oh, the most precious possession of His fatherhood. Oh, the best that heaven had. Oh, the best that heaven had. Searching all the angels and the seraphims and the cherubims, the archangels, and all the great expanse of heaven. All those great angels that sing and praise him and love him. And he knows every one of them by name. He's acquainted with all of them. Every last one of them. They're his angels. And when they sing, holy, 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 it raises the heart of God with praise and thanksgiving. And this God found his most precious treasure from all of heaven's boundaries. Hallelujah. And he was willing to give him. Other question, be somebody raise a hand if you like what I'm preaching, will you? When you lift it way up high, come on. Do you believe what your pastor is saying to you this morning? For God so loved the world that he gave. Hallelujah. How big God is that God could search through his treasures, search through the great company of angelic beings and great beings of the heavens. Find his own son, eternal, even as God was eternal. Eternal in the same degree as the Holy Spirit was eternal. And God could so love the world that he would find that treasure. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. I wonder when John was writing this, I can almost imagine John somewhere praying, writing the scripture, praying, writing the scripture, writes a little bit and prays a while. You see, this book was written by St. John. It was given to him by the Holy Ghost. And I can imagine when the Holy Ghost gave inspirations of these books, he gave it to them over a series of days. And they would pray and wait on him. And then suddenly words would start coming. And suddenly some great truth would grab him. And I can almost imagine John is somewhere in a place of sacred surrender, sacred devotion. And he's praying and he's talking to his father. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost pulls these words in him. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And he heard those words, his only begotten son. And John's heart probably went back to the first time he heard him, the first time he saw him. He probably went back to when he was hearing him preach the first sermon. And he probably thought, man, no man ever spake like this man. Where are these words coming from? Coming out of the lips of this Jewish rabbi. What's going on here? And then John realized, hey, indeed, this was more than another rabbi. This was the son of the living God. And it gripped him. And now John's writing this holy book called St. John, and he hears the Holy Ghost say to him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, those were superlatives that was completely stretching the mind of old John. He was trying, oh God, I never heard nothing so wonderful as this. I can almost hear him talking about this revelation, this great truth had got a hold of him. Hallelujah. And John writes it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now you search the annuals of all history. You search every book ever been written. You look for anything you want to look for. You go to the internet. You go to the Encyclopedia Britannica. You go all the way to any wisdom of man, and you'll never find nothing as superlative as this is. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The greatest sacrifice, the superlative sacrifice of superlative sacrifices, top of the list, nothing like it. There's no synonyms. I'm not even sure I'm using all of the English vocabulary right this morning, but put on the English vocabulary. I'm trying to communicate the truth to you, and that's what I'm concerned about. I want you to get the truth. I want the truth to rest in you that this has got to be the greatest thing that's ever been written by human hands. The Holy Ghost has never given words more powerful than these words. This is the heart of the Bible. This is the centrality of the Holy Book. Hallelujah. These are 13 superlatives that changed your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But it don't stop there. He don't stop there. That whosoever. Now that is stretching this whole statement that God has given John across the globe and around the whole universe, including everything in Africa, everything in Europe, everything in South America, all the way up to the Ukraine, over to China. I'm here to tell you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, not one human being is eliminated. Not one person, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of anything about them. There's never been nobody ever existed on planet Earth that God is excluding. This includes everybody. Now, if that's not a superlative, you find me one. And there is nothing to compare. There's no way. I'm here to tell you, the computer world and all of their efforts to have the greatest, they don't even touch this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, nobody sitting here has to go to hell. Nobody listening by internet all the way to the farthest corners of this earth has to go to hell. Nobody that's a thief or a robber. Nobody that's a murderer or a liar. Nobody that's a homosexual or a lesbian. Nobody that has just literally crawled their way to the pits of darkness and live like a devil themselves. If they have the capacity to repent and say, Lord, I believe on the shed blood of Calvary, I'm coming to God. Nobody. I said nobody. I said nobody. Hallelujah. That whosoever means whosoever. There's no end to it. What a superlative. Give me a synonym bigger than that. Whosoever. Whosoever. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? You memorize these superlatives, and I'm telling you the truth, you'll never be the same again. This will change your life. You can tell any sinner you meet, hey, do you understand, sir? Do you understand what this Bible said? Whosoever, whosoever, I love it. Whosoever, the greatest decision. The greatest decision. What a superlative. Now, should not perish. Well, whosoever should not perish. Look at that woman who's descended into the life of a lesbian. Maybe she's even tried to change her sex from man to woman, a woman to man. Maybe she's lived so rotten, she slept with everybody she could sleep with. Most of these people are bisexual. Just give them sex. And it don't matter how it comes and to whom it comes from. And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper until it becomes even bestiality. There's no end to it. There's no end to it. But here's a holy superlative given to us by the Holy Ghost that says, whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. Whosoever will. Hallelujah. That whosoever. I love it. That whosoever. I love to preach a gospel that has no exclusivity about it. I like to preach a gospel that reaches all the way across the board. I like to preach a gospel that the black face or the white face or the yellow face or the red face, the educated or the uneducated, the rich or the poor. Hallelujah. It makes no difference. Whosoever, let him come. Whosoever, let him come. Joe Chambers would have never been saved if God had not said whosoever. I was too far gone. I was too rotten. I was too full of filth. I was too nasty. I was too wicked. I was too ungodly. But whosoever covered me. Hallelujah. Raise your hand if whosoever covered you. Raise it way up high and say something if it's hallelujah or if it's just woe to me. Hallelujah. Somebody order it. Hallelujah. 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 Whosoever. For God so gave his son that whosoever. Now notice, believeth in him. Now that is got to be the greatest decision. The decision of decisions. The only decision that's worth eternal life. The only decision that closes the gates of hell. The only decision that locks up the powers of demons. The only decision that breaks the hold of sin. The only decision that drives wickedness out of your heart. The only decision that makes a new creature out of you. The only decision that changes your destiny from hell to heaven. The only decision, hallelujah, that makes you a child of the King. The only decision that doesn't leave you in some pit of human darkness and human wickedness, but raises you up and sets you on a pinnacle of a son of God, a child of the King, a new creature in Christ, born again, saved, changed. Hallelujah. You find a superlative that goes beyond that superlative. Will you please? There's no such thing. Whosoever will that believeth in him should not perish. Go to the cross of Calvary. Stand there for a moment and watch him as he writhes in the pain of such a death. They tell me there's no death like dying on a cross. Spikes driven in your hands and your feet. Oh, a crown of thorns on his head, him particular. And go there and stand a moment and look and listen. Hear him as in compassion, he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hear him as he looks over at his mom, and then looks over at John, and gives his mom to John to take care of for the rest of her life. Look at all the beauty, and all at the same time as all the sorrow, and all the heartbreak, and all the hellish. And hear that man over on the right side of Jesus, and he says, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. And the other thief says, why are you saying this kind of thing? Don't you understand? He's in the same predicament we're in. But then he looks at him and he sees something beaming in his countenance. He hears something in his own spirit called Holy Ghost conviction that lets him know that's not just another rabbi. That's not just another Jewish man. That's not just a nobody who's been found guilty of some hideous sin or crime. That's the Son of God. He's just here temporary. He won't be here a little while, and life goes on for him. And so the thief says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, that's the greatest revelation anybody ever had, much less a thief who'd spent his life in thievery and murder and darkness. And he says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Hallelujah. In a moment of time, a thief on his way to hell becomes a son of God on his way to meet the Redeemer. Oh, brother, says, oh, boy, somebody taught Sorima, raise your hand and just love on him. Just love on him. What a truth. What a miracle. What a blessedness. What a superlative. I'm telling you, there's nothing that's sweeter or richer and more wonderful than that to me. Whosoever let him come, believeth in him, should not perish. Tell me. Come on, somebody stand up and tell me. Something that is greater than that superlative. Tell me something. What can be greater than a man going to hell is suddenly going to heaven? A man lost in the depth of sin and suddenly he's a child of the King. He may have come from the meanest mom and dad ever existed, but now his new dad is the Heavenly Father and his new brother is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Oh, Christimatovi, Olimihanse, I love you, Father. I love you, Father. This truth overwhelms me. Hallelujah. Should not perish. But I like that superlative, don't you? That's the transition. That's the greatest alternative of human existence. The man lost is suddenly, just because he believed, saved. Hallelujah. I like that. Now that's a big but. I won't tell you that. B-U-T. That's a big but. A lot of times we use the word but just to get out of something. I like to go with you, but. I believe you're a good man, but. People say that to me all the time. You've never compromised, but they find all kinds of things wrong with me. And it's always, we find the good, and then there's a but in there, and they find the bad. But here's the picture of a word, B-U-T, as not found elsewhere in all of human existence. A man lost and going down in destruction, and suddenly there's a but in his life, and he turns from the destruction and the pathway to hell, and he turns upward, the greatest alternative. But how? Notice that word, H-A-V, how? What? What does he have? He's dying. His lifeblood is draining from his body. Those pain on his hands and feet is breathtaking. But suddenly, do you hear me? But suddenly, he has the greatest appropriation of love and mercy that is available in human life. The Son of God saves him. The Son of God changes him. Hallelujah. And the last of these 13 superlatives is beautiful indeed. But suddenly he has everlasting life. There's nothing as awesome as death in the human experience. Oh, there's nothing more awesome. All of us think about it. We want to go in the rapture. We don't want to die. I've never seen a person dying that really wanted to die. Maybe they was excited about where they were going, but if they could have made a decision to change it, I don't know anybody that I've ever seen that would not have. But here's the situation where eternal life, everlasting life, is suddenly the possession. Now, let me go through these. I want you to get them on your mind. You may want to underline. Listen to me now. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. I'm standing here before you this morning. Been saved 63 years. I'm almost 80. But I want to tell you something. I'm not about to die. The old body might lay down and you may have to bury it. And I don't care which way it is. It don't make a bit of difference with me. I reached a point in my life that whether I go by way of the grave, by way of the rapture, I'm just glad he's been so faithful, and he takes care of me, and he watches over mom and I, and oh, the beauty of his love. My old car broke down 2 times this week. The first time I was close enough to close on the coast onto the street where I live, and the second time I coasted into the Buick place. Where the repairs were to be made. And only angels of God could take care of a man like that. We could have been at West Jefferson where we spent the evening Thursday and the morning Friday. But no, God took care of it the right way. And you see, when you got angels watching over you, when you're a child of the King, when you're a member of the royal family, when you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, when he's made a new creature out of you, when you've left the old places of wickedness and sin, and godly living, and you joined in the family of the believed and the trustworthy and the faithful. Hallelujah. You I want to tell you something. There is nothing that is an alternative to all of this. Nothing. The world has nothing. The world is so poverty stricken until it boggles my mind to watch people love it when there's such a beautiful hope awaiting them in Christ. Amen. Why would everybody not want to belong to him? Why would everybody not want to serve the risen Lord? He is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. He is more precious than anything life offers. I want you to stand with me, please, as we remember the title of this sermon, The Awesome Superlatives of the Holy Bible. The Awesome Superlatives of the Holy Bible. 13 superlatives in one little verse of Scripture. Hallelujah. There's no words to match them. There's no description of anything that even comes close. You may be a rocky fella, and you may be able to write poetry that boggles the mind and fills the eyes with tears and the heart with rejoicing. You may have all kinds of wealth that's absolutely beyond measure. Well, I believe it's Longfellow, the poetry, and Rockefeller, the money. I want to tell you something. I'd rather have Jesus than anything they got. There's no comparison. There's no alternative. There's no superlative but him. He's above all and over all and in all and the completion and fullness of all. That's what the Bible says. In him is life. In him is life. I belong to him. Raise your hand if you belong to him. Raise your hand if you really belong to him. Would you please raise your hand if you belong to him? Raise it high, man. I wouldn't be skimpy with raising my hand. I belong to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want the world to know I belong to him. The Holy Ghost is in this place. Do you not understand? My Holy Bible, and my Savior, my Christ, my Redeemer has come to change your life, to give you a treasure of which this world knows no comparison. There are no alternatives to wonderful living other than Christ. Come and obey me and walk with me and serve me, saith the Lord, and I will give joy this world knows nothing about. Come, please, come, saith the Lord. Would you meet me in this altar? Come and just raise your hands and your heart. Let's stand together in closing this morning. Hallelujah. Let's thank him for what he's done for us. Let's thank him for the saving mercy and the saving merits. Let's thank him because he made us one of his own.